Please pray with me. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our ears. May we see what is true, that we may go out from here and open our mouths and share good news with all whom we meet. Illuminate us. Empower us. Walk with us. Amen. I was scared. I had to give a speech. I had to give my testimony. I was probably 21 years old. I was a very new Christian convert. My college Christian group leader asked me to briefly talk about my experience, about 5 minutes long, at what I remember as a rather large gathering of young adults. There was audiovisual, film, slideshow, things going on too. There may have been a dinner or a dessert. I don't remember. I could have declined the invitation. It was up to me. But instead, I said yes. And he asked me for 5 minutes because during that time, he would be kind of hidden down in front, making electrical connections so that whatever happened later with a film or slideshow or whatever could happen. So my time came, and my name was announced, and I came up to the front, and my knees were shaking. And I got up in front of everybody, took my place behind the microphone, and began speaking very quickly. Perhaps my voice was shaky as well. I do not remember. I do not remember what I said. Probably I talked about my conversion experience and the new life I was experiencing, but I do know that I quoted Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. And those verses read like this. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit out of the miry bog and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. So I wrapped up my talk and I began to sit down. And as I began to move away, I saw the leader kneeling there, plugging things in, looking up to me and saying in his mind, "Uh-oh, over already?" You betcha, I was done. I just wanted to sit down and take my place on the sideline somewhere. The main thing, I was done, hallelujah, that was over. I made it, I survived. Each of us has a place in our lives where we are deeply challenged. I think public speaking is like the number one fear in America, before death. I mean, it's up there. And when this thing that we have, or more than one thing, you're deeply challenged, we're easily defeated, and we wish we could overcome it. We wish we could defeat it. We wish we could overcome it and go beyond it. And perhaps whatever that challenge is visible to others and known to others. And perhaps we keep it a secret. Perhaps we can hide it under our public face. Nonetheless, none of us have become what we were created to become. We have more maturing to do in the spiritual and emotional sense. We have more to learn. We need more wisdom. And by the way, we need to learn. We need to use what we already have, which is hard enough. None of us is as charitable, loving, truth-telling, aware, or effective in bringing justice into the world as we could be. It is just as true that the Lord takes each of us as we are and loves us as though each one of us were the only person in the world to love. That love is poured out into our lives to bring us deep peace that overcomes anxiety. It's given us to bring us awareness of the Lord's presence and activity in other people's lives. That love teaches us the humility needed to forgive and receive forgiveness. That love is given to us to increase our love for the Lord and for the stranger, for the enemy, for the neighbor. And all of this is based upon the truth that the Lord created us, has been with us throughout our lives, whether or not we have been aware of his presence, and moves us toward our best use in the world. What evangelical Christians, which was what I was very strongly at that time, call God's plan for my life. You've heard of that, right? What's God's plan for my life? So the prophet Jeremiah's realization of this primal connection to God, that God knew him before Jeremiah was born, before Jeremiah could say the word Yahweh or Elohim, this shakes him to the core, because the Lord's purpose for his life, prophet to the nations, can you imagine, doesn't square with Jeremiah's own self-image. I do not know how to speak, for I am but a youth. What do I know? I'm not of age. I'm not mature. I don't have enough skills. I'm not self-confident. I'm not schooled enough. I am not enough to live into God's desire for him. And so this sounds like most of us when we begin to doubt ourselves, despite all the good stuff that other people say to us. And there's a lot of that. And we have a tendency to block it out and say, no, it couldn't be true. No way. And yet the call comes to Jeremiah, and he could have just said no. He could say no. We are given freedom of will. We are given freedom of choice. He could have set his own path aside from the invitation of God, making choices and experiencing the results is one way the Lord teaches us wisdom. It is not the end of the world to make a wrong choice, to say no or yes when it's not the right time, place. The good news is that saying no is not the end of the story. It's rather a place where the Lord continues to accept us as we are and works with us, wooing us toward our unique place in the universe. Theologian Paul Tillich wrote, "You are accepted. You are accepted by that which is greater than you and the name of which you don't know. Simply accept the fact that you are accepted. If that happens, we experience grace." Others in the biblical record have that experience. Abram was later called Abraham, was called to leave Haran for Canaan. The judge Deborah was moved to lead the Hebrews into battle against their oppressors. Mary humbled herself, the scripture tells us, and accepted the Lord's work in her because she saw cosmic significance in this. Peter and Paul proclaimed the good news about Jesus about to whomever would listen and to many who wouldn't. Many more in the 2,000 years between that time and this time have done the same thing. Joyce Holliday, a former associate editor of Sojourners magazine, wrote this. "So we are invited to step forward with boldness and confidence, trusting that God will overcome whatever inadequacies we feel, knowing that we preach a truth that is far greater than our weaknesses and doubt. We join a long line of people of faith, and they are waiting for us to build a new world with them." These places of deep challenge that we are invited by God to face into are more than we want to name. They are not just internal, individualistic. They are out there in the world. They are in our lives. They are in the lives of many others. A man named Dan Clendenin, he's a writer who's visited more than 40 countries, and he writes these words about his experiences in Ethiopia. He writes, "In 2005, I was in Ethiopia. I took a day trip to the mountains that surround the capital city of Addis Ababa. At the summit, our group prayed over the city, enjoyed the panoramic views, identified buildings in the distance below, and gasped for breath while walking uphill in the alpine air. That was the fun part. The disturbing part was our climb from the city center at 7,000 feet to the summit at 11,000 feet. As our minivan belched clouds of light blue exhaust, the higher we went, the more women and girls we passed carrying loads of firewood back down the mountain. Barefoot and bent over at the waist, these women carried 75-pound bundles of eucalyptus saplings, 7 feet wide, down to the city center about 10 miles away, all for a few pennies. The firewood carriers there are a common sight, so much so that you can read about them in guidebooks like The Lonely Planet. In this online article that I found, there's a photograph of a young girl carrying one of these huge bundles, and there's a caption underneath that says this: "My name, Amaretch, means the beautiful one. I am the youngest of four children in my family. Today I spent from 0300 to 1500, 3 a.m. to 3 in the afternoon, collecting the branches of eucalyptus trees which people use as firewood. I will sell this big bundle at the market for about $2. This will feed my family for a couple of days." Dan continues, "Ever since then, the firewood carriers of this city have reminded me of the crippled woman in Luke's gospel. Luke is the only gospel to tell this story. It's the last time in his gospel that Jesus enters a synagogue to teach. Luke writes that the woman had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years, and as a consequence was bent over and could not straighten up at all. In this city, I kept wishing that those women and girls who were bent over and could not straighten up at all could be freed from their bondage." Perhaps that forms an image in our minds that also speaks to our shared experience as an interim pastor and congregation. Both of us have faced into those places internal to our being that are damaged, bent over, bound. We've spent a lot of time and energy looking at that and experiencing it. And here and there along the way, we've experienced healing that have enabled us to stand a little straighter, breathe a little deeper, see a little more clearly, know a little more deeply. And we both know that the journey of regeneration, the journey toward conscious competence, goes on beyond this day and this place. Our time together has been a time set aside for self-examination and action based upon that look within. It has been a holy time. It has been a liminal time between what was and that which is not yet come to be. It has been a journey, an exodus, a road trip from a known place toward an unknown destination. It has been a struggle. It has been an anxious time, a time of wrestling, a time that has tried our souls very deeply at times. It has been also a time of revelation, of discovery. Church Council made the choice to seek an interim minister rather than go ahead as usual. And in that way, it has taken a road never before taken by this congregation. But it has not been a Sabbath time, has it? It has not been a time of calm rest and reflection and contemplation, just taking a deep breath and kind of sitting there, kind of looking around and enjoying things. We have not set aside our usual work, our usual concerns, our usual to-do lists. Instead, we have added on another layer of spiritual and emotional work, so that if you are feeling as though you have undertaken a long and strenuous journey, you are correct. Perhaps it's been like a woman giving birth. Perhaps it's been like a young person who goes through that soul deep struggle. Remember that, you who are older, to understand, who am I and what is my place in the world? Is also involved the movement from pride, and in some few cases, a kind of arrogance, into wondering who you really are beyond the public face and the publicity, It has been an invitation to question almost everything. So though this has not been a time of Sabbath, it has been nonetheless the Lord's time, both in the chronological sense and in the soul sense. It has not been wasted. You have heard the call of the Lord, as did Jeremiah and so many others. And all those names I mentioned and many others you can think of from the Bible and through Christian history are the cloud of witnesses named in the New Testament book to the Hebrew Christians. And you walk in their footsteps. And yes, you sometimes walk timidly and haltingly, anxiously, and yes, sometimes incompetently. And sometimes boldly and decisively and with great wisdom. But hear this. If the Lord could turn self-deprecating Jeremiah into a living embodiment of the Lord's word, and if the Lord could heal the body and soul of that bent over woman who knew her place in the back of the synagogue for so many silent years, then surely he can work with you and with me. The Lord says to you and to me, do not say, I am only. I am just. I am merely. The Lord says to you and me, do not say that. Because you and I are far more than our weakness and ignorance and fear and selfishness. The Lord said to Jeremiah, today I appoint you, youth, over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. If we live into Jeremiah's halting faith, into the woman's faith, with the Lord's help, and as though doing so is of ourselves alone, then we shall see what we do not see now, and we shall become what we are not yet. Creation's purpose for us is that we reflect the light of the New Jerusalem into this world, that we become fit for heaven by appropriating as much as heaven as we can stuff into ourselves and act it out into the world and between one another, and bring it to bear on this hurting, beautiful world. F. Robert Toffel writes this, Jesus modeled the divine ideal of the spirit of the law, doing what is good on the Sabbath, honoring the Sabbath by joining divine love and wisdom in acts of love and kindness. That is a model for all of life, not just a Sabbath. The prophet Isaiah wrote this, then you shall call to the Lord, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach in the wall, the restorer of streets to live in. Remember that the Lord said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, what do you see? And Jeremiah saw what he could not see before that very moment. Jesus said to the woman, woman, you are set free from your ailment. And he laid healing hands on her, and she stood up straight and praised God as she had never praised God before. A loud voice. And I ask you, church, what do you see? Can you see the possibilities that lie before you? Judy alluded to some of them. The possibility of being a truly unified community that works together, because this is the Lord's church. And you want to glorify the Lord and support one another and nurture those who come through those doors. Can you claim as your own the words of Psalm 40 that I've changed a little bit? Can you claim these words? We waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to us and heard our cry. He drew us up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set our feet upon a rock, making our steps secure. He put a new song in our mouths, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and rejoice in awe and put their trust in the Lord. May it be so. Amen.